Happy Easter again, everyone, and a special happy Easter to all of our guests. The question we are going to start with this morning is a bit of a difficult question, but it's going to lead us towards Easter joy. And the question is, why is some of what we're going through hurting so much? Why has some of the things we've been going through, why do we sometimes feel so much pain? So some of us have a lot of problems in our relationships. Really hurts. Why? Some of us are hurting in our loneliness. Why does it hurt that much? Some of us keep on making the same mistakes in our lives over and over again. We can't fix ourselves. Why does that hurt? And so sometimes you might actually go to prayer and you say, Jesus, what are you trying to say through this prayer? Why am I in so much pain? Why does it hurt so much? So we want to answer this question. And it's going to lead to great, like I said, Easter joy. And we're going to learn four truths from St. Mary Magdalene in the gospel. Here's the first truth. If you stay at Jesus' tomb, you are going to find joy. St. Mary Magdalene, she is the example of a loving heart that's really looking for Jesus, and she eventually finds him. The text says, the disciples, St. Peter and the beloved disciple, returned to their homes. But Mary Magdalene stood weeping outside the tomb. So if we stay at Jesus' tomb, symbolically meaning if we wait for him, just like she did, we're going to find him. Now, we don't always know when that's going to be because it's up to Jesus when he's going to reveal himself, just like it was up to him when he's going to reveal himself to her. But stay by the tomb, and eventually, if you're looking for him, you're going to find him. The second truth is this, and this will really answer our question. The reason why you're suffering so much is this. Our capacity to suffer equals our capacity to love. And that equals our capacity for joy. So when you're the kind of person who really takes things, you can take it very painfully, things can really hurt you. That's because you're a person of great love. Your heart is very open. Your heart is very generous. So the best way to think about this is with an image. In our relationships with other people, we can open our arms like this. For a big hug, not during this time of social distancing, except with our family. But when you open your hands in a hug, people can hug you in return, or they can ignore you, and then you can feel rejected. So the people who always have their arms open, they're capable of great joy, but they're also capable of great suffering. St. Mary Magdalene two times has asked, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Well, she's weeping because she misses Jesus so much. She can hurt so much. She stays there. She misses him. But because she's capable of great suffering, meaning great love, she's capable of great joy. And she's the one who finds Jesus first. And she gets the greatest joy, the first joy. This is the message of our Christian faith, the great message. You just sum it up that way. God the Father always has his arms open to us. Jesus always has his arms open to us. But we reject him. We push him away. He tries to love us and we ignore him. And sometimes we put his arms into the crucified position. We nail him to the cross. The interesting thing, the beautiful thing about Jesus is that he leaves his arms on the cross as a sign that you're always welcome to come home. He will never close his arms to us. Whenever the priest celebrates Mass, pay attention to this gesture. When the priest has his hands extended, we say, in this gesture of praying, when we pray to God the Father on the people's behalf, we have our hands extended. It's supposed to be the sign of a cross. Now, some of us have our arms. Mine are like this. Some priests are more raised up as if pointed to heaven. Other priests have their hands more closed. The point is, our arms are open. We're vulnerable. But it's a sign of love, and it's a sign that we're capable also of great joy. Third truth. Moving from pain to joy, it's a journey. So Mary Magdalene, she starts in darkness. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. So the darkness is symbolic. It's symbolic of her spiritual ignorance, her sadness, her loss of hope. And we know the author of St. John's Gospel. We know he did this on purpose because he puts in all these clues about light and darkness throughout his Gospel. And when, for example, when Judas betrays Jesus, as soon as he leaves the Last Supper to betray Jesus, the author of the Gospel adds, and it was night. Wow. There's something bad happening. So darkness, sign of sadness, loss of hope. But that means for us that if we stay at the tomb in our darkness, eventually light comes. So moving from pain to joy, it's a journey, but it will come. The fourth truth, joy comes from encountering the risen Jesus and believing in him. This is a long passage, let's read it. The text says, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. Three times in St. John's Gospel before this, whenever Jesus addresses a lady, when he says to her, woman, it's a sign he's starting a new relationship with her. So he does this twice with his own mother. When he calls his own mother two times, woman, the first time he wants Mary, his mother Mary, to become the new Eve, just as he's the new Adam. Second time he does that, when he calls her woman, he wants her to become the mother of the church, not just his mother, but mother of all Christians. The third time it happens in St. John's Gospel is when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman. He calls her woman, which is a sign that she's symbolic of all the Samaritan people who are supposed to marry God the Father. And now this is the fourth time. Notice a progression in the relationship. At first she calls him sir, thinking him to be a gardener. What kind of relationship is that? And then it progresses. She recognizes him as her teacher. And then finally she recognizes him as Lord. He is her God. I want to share with you three stories that are going to illustrate different kinds of encountering the risen Jesus. The first kind is what I call a taste of the resurrection. Not the full joy, but a taste of it. So I'm pretty joyful today, but I don't know if I'm at that full Easter joy, just the way things are. And one thing that's happened to me recently is that I've had a taste of Easter joy. 2 months ago, I noticed I was being bombarded by a lot of anger. I was kind of angry at everything. I was wondering what's going on. And nothing was satisfying me. Conversations with other people didn't heal the heart. Food, exercise, nothing was helping. So I'd go to the chapel and something new happened to me that never happened to me before. I could literally feel Jesus healing the pain on my heart. And the way I describe it is this. If you have a wound on your arm, you know, let's say it's cut. If you were to film it and speed up the video and you to time lapse the healing, you'd actually see the wound come together. And then you'd see it change color. And then you'd see the scar go away. And it was amazing what Jesus was doing when I was in the chapel. I could feel him doing that to my heart. And even though it was so good, a part of me thought, well, I got to get back to work. There's so much to do. And I knew Jesus was saying, just stay with me. Let me heal your heart. And that was a taste of the resurrection. So I'd really hope for all of you, if you have a chance to go to the drive-in adoration chapel, for your sake, do it. I hope you experience that taste. The second kind of experiencing the risen Jesus, it's a resurrection of faith. So I have permission to share the following story. One of our parishioners was unfaithful in his marriage repeatedly. And last year he was caught by his wife. And even after he was caught, he kept on lying. He kept up the infidelity. He said he hated God to the bottom of his heart, and he hadn't been to Mass for years. One day he found his wife's diary, and he learned how much pain he caused her and how much pain he had caused the children. And he also learned that she still hoped in God. She still had faith in God. And that made him wonder, how can that be? How can someone who's hurt so much still have faith and hope in God? And so that night he came to our church and he asked Jesus, he said, if I come back and tell you everything, will you come into my heart? Will you fill my soul with your words and teach me to be closer to you? And Jesus started answering that prayer. And soon after that, he started looking into various ministries that he could join in the church. He started looking for various retreats. What could he go on? And then he started praying, and the prayer has really become so much more important in his life. He now prays 2 rosaries a day. He's still praying our Alpha 1102 prayer that we started in December. He's praying in the morning and at night for the people, the Alpha 1102 prayers for those we love. He gave up meat for all of Lent. And on Friday, I talked about, we should talk to our family about God. He said, I want to do that. He wants to do anything he can to move closer to holiness. His son has also inspired him. His son's faith is so strong, well beyond his years, and his father looks to that. Now, some people think he's putting on a show. They're wondering, how can anyone change so dramatically and so quickly? But it's true. It's a real resurrection of faith. He said he's really looking forward to Easter because Easter is about new life. And he's found new faith. And now he's found that new life working in rebuilding his marriage and rebuilding his relationship with his kids. The third kind of experiencing the risen Jesus, it's a resurrection in someone else's life. So this last Sunday, a lot of us know who are here in Vancouver. A lot of us know that one of our parishioners, Warlito Valdez, he died of COVID-19. And I talked to his wife, his sister-in-law, a few times last week, and they've given me permission to share the following graces. They are grieving very much, but they also want to let all of you know, thank you for your prayers. That's helped them so much. Now, here's the graces. Warlito's wife and sister-in-law both said to me and just amazed me, blew me away, that there is a purpose to Warlito's death. They said that God chose him to be with him, and he's now in God's hands. And then his sister-in-law said something even more profound about the purpose. She said, the sister-in-law said that her 2 teenage boys will now have to take care of Warlito's 4-year-old daughter. And when she said this, I started realizing, oh my goodness. She said, her teenage boys are going to have to teach the 4-year-old daughter right from wrong. She said, you're going to have to tell her never to tell even white lies. And when I heard this, I was so profoundly moved that Warlito's death is going to lead to a resurrection in the faith and the maturity of his 2 nephews. Jesus laid down his life so that we could live. And Warlito, his wife said, isolated himself as soon as he got COVID-19. He died alone in his room because he was trying to protect his family. So he laid down his life, and now I think we're going to see this incredible opportunity, part of God's plan that the wife and sister-in-law see, that the 2 boys now will grow up even faster. And they're going to become more like Jesus because they're going to take care of their younger cousin. If we haven't yet experienced Jesus' resurrection, I want to give a few bits of advice. Number one, like we said, stay at his tomb, so wait for him. And like we said 2 weeks ago, don't rush things. Don't expect God to do things on your own timing. Wait for his timing. Second, ask to encounter him. Do you ever ask Jesus, can you encounter him? That you can encounter his joy. Ask him. Because the reason why he doesn't always come immediately is because he doesn't force us. He's waiting for an invitation. So let's ask him, Jesus, I want to experience that your risen joy. Number 3, we talked about arms extended. It's natural when we get hurt to close our arms to God, close our arms to other people. Can you keep those arms extended? Now, it's important, it's right that we protect ourselves from abuse. We protect ourselves from grave evil. But towards other people, can we at least have our heart, the arms of our heart, can it be open to them so that at least there's that goodwill? Number 4, St. Mary Magdalene, when she was at the tomb waiting for Jesus, she had to let go of her previous belief that Jesus' body had been stolen. And in the same way, we have to let go of our own previous preconceptions of God. Sometimes we have expectations of God that might not be entirely true. We have to let go of those. We also have to let go of old hurts. Number 5, I just want to let all of you know, this isn't an action item, but get excited for this. I'm trying to move the parish into starting our Alpha program online. World-class program. It's been very fruitful. Now we're looking to transition. Maybe in a few months we can start Alpha online. So get ready for that. And finally, I want to ask all of you to do something. at the end of today's Mass. In the chat online, instead of saying just Happy Easter and leaving it at that, could I ask all of you to share online one experience of risen joy, of Easter joy that you're experiencing right now? Doesn't have to be great. It could be anything according to you. We said that we have this rallying cry. By July 1st, we all want to be, we said, closer, holier, stronger, and bolder. Closer to Jesus, holier, stronger in love, and bolder in sharing what Jesus is doing in our life, sharing him with other people. So I'm asking all of you today, at the end of Mass, when we start the chat, could you share one piece of you experiencing Jesus' Easter joy? Easter has already begun, even if we might not yet feel it, because Jesus is risen. And I praise God that some of you are already experiencing intense joy. Please, if you are, pray for other people who might not be experiencing it just yet. Our capacity to suffer equals our capacity to love, and that equals our capacity for joy.